my dry, out of my dry, DJ Tunes, put it on the table, yeah, out of my dry,
City of Nigeria. Rock City of Nigeria. This is Fresh 107.9.
A kì í lajú ẹni sílẹ̀ kí tálùbọ̀ wọ̀. Ẹ̀yin òbí, tẹ́ bèsù gbẹ̀gbà, tẹ́ ń gbọ́jà láwọn ọmọ léńjẹ-léńjẹ lórí. Aburú kan kò ní ṣẹlẹ̀ láwọn ọmọ wa, àmọ́ ká rántí pé kójú má rí bi gbogbo ara lògùn ẹ̀ ọmọ ẹni lọ̀lẹ́ ni àtòbí àtàlágbàtọ́.
Ẹyẹ lọmọ nílòkulò.
Like us, it is everywhere that you look and What you see is what I saw. That's why I table all this matter on the floor. Like, if I tell you, say, about me, keep it, ole, ole. Even thief, go they follow, go they shout, ole, ole. Hey, who be the thief, who be the catch? Who be the push me, and who be the under? Who go they say, he only pass for the matter? Who go they say, for thief, he now be the master?
If you tip it, tip it, yeah, tomorrow you go be no thief no more.
Alright, Sound Sultan featuring the late Sound Sultan featuring T-Face on that one, Bushmeat, talking about one day the Bushmeat will definitely catch the hunter. Sound Sultan doing that beautiful track, calls that one, Bushmeat Oli, talking about thief. But this time, with us, say welcome to the show. It is the platform on Nigeria's number one radio station, Fresh 107.9 FM. I'm Bill Kuta. My name is Binga. Oreshegun, yes, I'm the man you just have to love. Welcome to the show. And on the platform this morning, we're going to be looking in the way of corruption. Yes, corruption. Because corruption remains the bane of the growth and development of any nation. Corruption affects all areas of any society. And in tackling it, unlocks the progress towards the sustainable development goals. Talking about creating jobs, securing wide access to services such as healthcare and education. Now, currently, Nigeria is ranked at 149 out of 183 countries X-rayed for corruption in government and public places and public service. Now, this week, on the 9th of December 2023, the whole world, we'll be celebrating the International Anti-Corruption Day. And, you know, the focus has always been on highlighting the rights and responsibilities of everyone in fighting corruption. So this is the crux of our discussion now. And joining me right here in the studio is a member, Transparency and Accountability Network, Nigeria, and also the Program Coordinator, Coalition of NGOs in Ogun State, in person of Tayo Akinpelu. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
So let's have this conversation about corruption. Now, anytime we mention corruption, there's always this the naira and kobo aspect of it, pounds and dollars aspect of it. But maybe it's just the perception where the moment the word corruption is mentioned, somebody's thinking of, plenty money must be involved here. You know, and that is why the poor man never believes that he is corrupt. Mm-hmm. The poor man would always say, oh, it's only the rich or probably those in government are the corrupt ones. But me, from my thorough kobo, I'm not corrupt. But really, Tayo, make us understand what really constitutes this corruption that we are all talking about, that we're all fighting. Is corruption really about money or other things are involved?
All right, thank you very much for that thought. I must say that, like you said, what comes to mind when we talk about corruption is funds. But I must say that corruption is more of a lifestyle. It's more of an attitude that is initially, it was associated with power. However, with time, the word corruption gradually, like I said, because it's a lifestyle, it gradually started dovetailing to the behavior, to the mindset that people live. And when we say the mindset that people live, it's about you thinking in your mind that you want a fast route to something. Because corruption is synonymous to dishonesty, is synonymous to being fraudulent. You know this is not the way to get this done, and you want to just, you know, like a bypass. So it's not necessarily about somebody in power, but at every level, the moment we decide to get things done in a fraudulent way, then we would say that you are also very, very corrupt.
So let's say maybe, for example, if I get you right, if there's maybe a hold up here, a traffic gridlock somewhere, and you decide to take one way, you are a corrupt person.
Definitely, because that's not the right track.
That is not the right track.
And you are just trying to circumvent a system just for you to get ahead of others. Obviously, if the situation where we now have everybody taking that route, then the whole situation becomes very crazy.
So, another example, let's say for example, you get into the bank, there's a crowd there. But because you know the cashier, excuse me, and that one calls you and...
Obviously, that's also corruption because like I said, any system, any lifestyle that you are trying to circumvent...
Just for you to get to it, it's termed corruption.
Not necessarily about money. Like the last example you used, it's a corrupt person. And one thing is corruption requires 2-3 people to be involved.
So corruption cannot happen with just one person.
Yeah, because
you need like a team.
Yes.
Like
you really need somebody to cooperate with you.
To cooperate with you.
To circumvent already laid down.
A giver and a receiver.
Yes, principle.
But corruption, they say, came out of somewhere. Where does it start? Or should he say, where did it start? No, where does it start? Is it from the home? Is it from the society? Is it from the government? Or is it in our DNA that at some point it will manifest whether we like it or not?
Well, I used to tell people that for me, I do not believe... in terms of the origin of where it comes from, you really cannot pinpoint. Mm. But again, we could say that the home is the smallest unit of the society.
Okay.
And because the home is the smallest unit of a society, it is the value system that you grow with that you are likely going to fall yourself into. Mm. However, as you are coming into the society, workplace, relationship, schools, and you begin to see yourself into what the society term has correct or incorrect. So what do I mean? Like the last example you gave. If people know that you do not jump queues, you know, if that's the system there, then everybody will align. But when you get into a system where you feel is the norm to jump queue. Now, to your last part of the question, which says, is it part of the DNA? The answer is no. It's about the system. When a system allows it, and that's why you see a corrupt person leaves the shores of our country, for example, and moves to another country that does not tolerate certain things. They align. So the question is, it is more, for me, I would think it is more of the acceptability of a system. Mm. So let's go back to some of the examples you've given. Mm. If in a bank, there is a standing order that for any reason, nobody should join the queue. And it's something that is punishable. Mm. It's something that, you could be held responsible for. You'll find out that nobody is, even when you know somebody, you're going to find a way to stylishly say, please, can you also join the queue? And so technically, corruption is more of a system, like I said earlier. It's a lifestyle over time, people have come to accept, despite the fact that they know it is very, very wrong.
But most of the time, you know, growing up, we hear of scenarios like that. I don't know, maybe it happened in your home, yeah? But I've heard of situations whereby, you know, let's say, for example, your parents don't, they are not ready to entertain someone who wants to come visit. And they tell you as a child, if this person comes to look for me, tell him I am not home. And let's say as a child, you know, the person now comes in, oh, where's your daddy? Most of the time, your daddy had told that person, oh, I'm not home. But if for adventure you say, my daddy asked me to tell you that he's not home, you might get beaten for it. Now, you talked about the fact that there are sometimes people would say, oh, I'm not going to corrupt. I'm going to be a disciplined person. But the society will view that person as, you're a fool. You can't make money if you continue that way. And there are lots of stories of people who would say that, who actually, they lived in penury because they decided that they are not going to cut corners. What do you have to say to people like that?
Well,
because almost the society will say that, oh, you're a fool. Look at your friends. They are in Dubai. They're flying jets. But you are depending on your pension, which is not even paid regularly. So what do you have to say to people?
Very correct. You know, and that's where the issue of value system comes to play. Mm. You cannot undermine value system when we talk about corruption. There are people who hold their values in very high esteem.
Very high esteem.
No matter whatever you do, those are the kind of examples you have given. And the truth about it is, we live in, and that's where the pressure of the society, like I told you, comes to play in terms of corruption.
Mm.
So when the pressure comes to say, these are expectations. So for example, you are a director in the ministry. There are perceived expectations to say, obviously, you should have built a house. And if you do not have what we call a value system, then corruption will be the bone of the day. So, and that's why you find people who would also be in offices, and people will say, this is how we do it this in this place, and then the person decides to say, okay. My value system then comes to play to say, okay, is this what I want to do, or I want to join the perceived society? I know a couple of people who have had privilege to be in power, and I've had to struggle. I use the word struggle around value system. What do I mean? So, for example, you are in an office, you already have a car allowance, and you have housing allowance, and you are still staying in a government property. obviously, it's your value system. If you choose to do that, the moment you take an allowance on something, then that means you are not entitled to it any longer.
True.
But you have a lot of people who are taking those double funds and all those, and they are living happily. So then the question is, what is the value system? That's where we need to go. If we would achieve anything.
Okay.
I used to tell people that corruption is already endemic in our country.
Okay.
And so people will look at you when you want to do the right thing as a deviant. However, if you hold value system very well, you are likely going to be able to survive. Yes, it might look that you are not enjoying the flamboyant life that others have, but one thing I've also seen over time is that when people are looking for people are righteous, or people who are less corrupt, there's a way people refer to them. You remember our former president, when he was coming into office,
I'm still going to talk about that. I'm still going to talk about it. But if we look at the trend, over the last few decades, if we put Nigeria on a platter and say, okay, let us analyze Nigeria from the 60s, the 70s and the 80s and, perhaps the 90s. Someone will say that Nigeria has been deteriorating when it comes to the perception of corruption, the Corruption Perception Index. If we look at the rating, the Corruption Perception Index, if we look at the rating, when it comes to this thing, Nigeria has not really fared well.
Not at all.
If you look at the past administration, talk about the president, former President Muhammadu Buhari administration. One of the sole reasons Nigerians voted massively for, was that Nigerians thought that he was going to fight corruption to a standstill. But I guess we were bobbled, But what is the responsibility for the way Nigeria has fared terribly when it comes to Corruption Perception Index?
Well, for me, I think that one of the things that has fueled corruption in Nigeria is basically poverty. I use the word poverty because people over the years have seen corruption as the only way to become rich, as the only way to make it. So it became endemic because it gradually crept into all our systems. Yes, I'm going to start from the educational sector. You want to get into into an higher institution, You know, you want to go into a unity school, you want to go into a federal school, you require to know somebody to be able to do that.
Man, no man.
Then at the end of the day, I mean, at that stage, you see that it was because I know somebody that was able to get this.
Mm.
You want to get into the university, it takes you knowing somebody, you know, to be able to push admission. You also finished from the university. It also takes you somebody to be able to even serve. Let's go to...
Oh, to even serve where you're supposed... Okay.
I mean, it becomes also... I mean, then eventually to now get a job, it becomes man no man. So if people have grown over the years using those ideologies behind their mind, it gradually increases the number of or reduces the number of people who believe in due process. You know, despite the fact that, you know, like you said, over the years, government has made significant effort in terms of making sure that there are laws and policies that, I mean, debars corruption. However, implementation becomes a problem.
Implementation.
Because who implements a law that is going to come back and, I mean, and still, I mean, point at the person implementing.
Okay.
And that's where we have a problem. So over time, it grew from something minute, and which will still come back to the issue of value system.
Okay.
Before now, you would agree with me that you know, growing up, there's this popular adage to say, always remember the son
of Tiwonshe,
you know. And, you know, there's also this one that has to do with Orukoriri,
Ojuwura
ati Father Kalo. I keep wondering how many people say those things again, because if those were the value system that we grew up with while growing up.
Mm.
But now, everybody wants to term success as wealth. Whereas, it's not the way. And so, in a bid to balance life, like I said, poverty, and a bid to try and stabilize, people go the alternative route. You remember the definition was trying to use the alternative route to get what you want. So, people are trying to look at how do I mean, make the best of living using a faster route.
So I'm going to say the end justifies the means.
The means.
Because talking about the value system, because I remember back then as a younger person, you know, some would say that back then they used to even look at the kind of families you get married to, the names, that, okay, this is a good family. But right now it's about, oh, do they have money? Will they take care of you? They don't want to know if that family is good or not. It is the substance.
So you understand why we have moved from, and like I said, the family is the smallest unit. So it meant that gradually we all started agreeing that it was not about the value system any longer, but it was about the funds, it was about the wealth.
Yes.
Wherever you got the wealth. And, you know, progressively, it also increased crime. It increased, I mean, that's where you see a secondary school boy would buy a car of 10, 15 million. And nobody's asking
questions.
What
nobody's
did
asking
you,
questions.
You know, nobody's asking,
how did you get,
you know, these funds? And gradually it became something we started celebrating in our society. And the moment you make corruption like, I mean, something
to
that is
glorify, if it is,
yes, and acceptable, then it becomes difficult for you to push anti-corruption in a society like ours.
Now, talking about anti-corruption, because over the years, the government has been doing all it can, you know, to fight corruption. You know, there was a time during the past administration, they said that, oh, corruption is fighting back. Somebody even told me that it's corruption fighting corruption. Okay, but the past administration, you know, they always had a saying that corruption is fighting back. Talking about fighting corruption, have we really been fighting corruption the way we should be fighting corruption as a government?
Well, the answer would be no.
No.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's my personal view, though. Why did I say that? For our judicial system, they will say yes, they've done a lot of improvement and all those. The question will be, how many people have gone to jail? How many people have been killed for corruption. You see somebody stole billions of naira and then you go to court for another 3-5 years, pays from the corrupt money the person has also gotten. And at the end of the day, the best we have seen is people go to prison for like 6 months and still come back.
And still come back, yeah.
Come and take political office, you know, and contest again. So you can't say you are fighting corruption. You know, countries where corruptions are being fought, I mean, you see heavy penalties for corruption. You see somebody take steal government money and the next thing is you are executed. I mean, the question is, how many of such have we seen in our country?
Even though capital punishment, I don't really advocate for capital punishment, but jail terms, longer jail terms.
And like I still said, the value system. If I see that somebody can still, you know, I mean, this on a lighter note.
Yeah.
I was discussing with a friend of mine and he says that, I mean, if you want to steal, please make sure you steal big. You know, so that when they come at you, you know, because that's what that's going to leave us with. When people believe that when you steal big, then I mean they come at you, you use part of the money, and then you are still there. Because that's the mindset.
Okay, the lawyers get get there to defend, you know, plea bargaining to
so that's to tell you that we've not been able to send that signal into the society to say no to corruption. And it's until the government can be clear about that and be able to send that signal to say, we will not take corruption. You know, and it starts also with them, obviously, from people in power. You know, people are also watching. You cannot say members of the communities should not be corrupt where you go on being corrupt. You know, we still have the cases of palliative sharing. We have, you know, and these are simple cases to say, can you get this to solve people's problem? We have simple cases of trying to solve project coming from the federal government to the state. We have issues of local government autonomy. You know, these are little issues that are directly linked with corruption. So if government says, I am standing against corruption, then it has to be in all facets of whatever is being done.
All right, let's still dwell on the value system, but this time let's add desperation to it. You know, back in the day, our parents used to tell us, just like what you said, remember the son of whom you are, you know, a good name is better than silver or gold. You know, they protect the family name. But what do we have now? There's this saying that your son is not a laundry man, but keeps bringing in clothes. No one is asking the question. Omo Oshagbafo. No one is asking the right question. I was talking to a colleague, I think it was this week. He said that there was a time he saw someone that, like his boy, that this boy, like a year before that time, was just a normal boy, student and all. And the next year, he had gotten a car, a big car. And he saw him by the side of the road. So this guy wanted to, hey, come in, come in. But my colleague said that, where did you get this car? He said, that's no problem, just enter. He said, no, I'm not going to enter your car until you tell me how you got that car. And he felt really offended. Why are you asking me how I got the car? There was a time, I think someone posted it on social media. They said that, most of the time you say, what's the source of your wealth? But when I was poor, did you ask me where's the source of my poverty? And I felt like, why would you even put that on a social media? And because of that, people now start the desperation. You see on social media, on television, young people brandishing wealth. And you as an unemployed person, you might want to be forced to do something like that. Now, right now, we see parents encourage at the younger ones, their children, or even cover up for them. You see all these Yahoo boys and all of it, because they have parents. And because they pay them, they take care of them, the parents would even be blessing them to say, where it's coming from, it won't get dry. But how did we miss it? Now, what is the reason for this? Is it poverty or hopelessness? Now, speak to the value system. Where did we miss it? How did we get here? How can we go back to when it used to be value? When we used to value?
That's a lot of a big question. But again, let me attempt to say that we got here through a mix of issues. One, poverty was one of it. Two, like you rightly said, hopelessness was one of it. I remembered, growing up, we're still going to go back to some of these adage to say, and all those were words that we instituted the value system in us. But we got to a point where we could no longer say those things, because now you have a lot of unemployed youth, you have a lot of graduates that have not been able to get jobs, you have a lot of people who are qualified, who cannot even access a basic education.
Okay.
Now, where am I going? It's a mix of the two. You have those who had challenge with corruption.
Okay.
Now, for those who are also, coming out to use the faster route, what is the system doing to them? The system is celebrating them. So, for example, if you, like the scenario you gave, if somebody is a young person and is found to be in the possession of a car that we all know this is not the right source. And a couple of arrests are made. I'm sure the brother or the sister, I remembered gone are those days when the Yahoo thing started. There's a particular school that I know in, not definitely in this state, but in one state, I would not. During all of this, people parked their cars, in the school, because they could not go home with those vehicles. But gradually, because it became like, okay, it's okay, it's okay. So eroding of value system happens gradually.
The parents even welcome them.
Yeah, with acceptability of something that is wrong.
Okay.
And for us to get to that point, we will go back to the issue of sanctioning.
Okay.
When somebody is corrupt, what is the kind of sanction that is available? All of us know what it is. When we say a system is not ideal, this is corruption. And so the moment we begin to sanction, nobody wants to be in a situation where they are seen at the headlines of papers.
Okay.
Nobody wants to be assisted with bad things and all those. Recently somebody who was a philanthropist was arrested by EFCC, and almost everybody dissociated from that group, because nobody wants to be associated with bad things. But I must say that, in as much as yes, we have challenge with the norm, we should also not begin to celebrate the bad part of it. You know, and so if we institute a system to answer your question, to deal with the bad meanings in the society, we should also try in such a way to celebrate the right track. For example, it's easy for us to get funding for Miss World,
like all these reality shows
and all those, but it's so sad to see the best graduating student gets
seven tubers of yam.
Or 5,000 naira endowment fee. And you are going to wonder, what is going to motivate others? So it means that at one side, we are motivating those who are doing the right thing.
Okay.
And then at the other side, we are also chastising those who are doing the wrong thing.
All right, so let's still talk about the government, because the government is trying to fight corruption. During the Obasanjo administration, they had to set up the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission. They also set up the Independent Corrupt Practices and Other Related Offences Commission, talking about the ICPC. But yet, we still see corruption grow exponentially. The fact that there was a video of a certain governor, in the north, the northern part of that, who was seen in this video, stuffing wads of cash some would say dollars, but I don't know. But stuffing wads of cash into his clothing. But most, what did we get after it? Did heads roll? You know, but most of the time, it seems as though the agencies, sometimes to some people, they say that they allegedly turn a blind eye to these things. And even when the ICPC or the FCC, even though when they try to prosecute these cases, you know, these individuals, they come up with sans, lawyers, big lawyers. And at the end of the day, the EFCC, ICPC, they lose in court. Does the EFCC and ICPC, do they have what it takes to truly fight corruption? Or do you think when both agencies merge together, like the EFCC and ICPC, if they merge together, do you think the fight will be different and more emboldened? You know, because I'm a Christian, you can add the Bible. The Bible said one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. Now, do you think if they come together, do you think they can actually fight corruption truly? Yeah. What do you have to say?
Well, for me, obviously, the issue of merger is another conversation. For me, I'm not sure that the merger would actually achieve, I mean, anything significant. Especially because, you know, why have they not been able to achieve success? You have identified the major issues. And like I explained earlier in our conversation, when somebody is corrupt, it has quite a lot of mechanism to also fight. Maybe we'll use the word fight corruption. Corruption will fight back.
Corruption will fight back.
And, you know, it's easier for corruption to fight back because corruption would always look for a way to circumvent the system.
Okay.
Whereas the system would, obviously, people like EFCC, ICPC, would still want to go the right route. What do I mean?
Okay.
They would want to follow the due process, get court injunction, you know, get court orders, get, you know. And by the time, while they are busy doing all this, the society is playing with money. I mean, they are playing with money. They are playing with the value system that is already eroded.
Okay.
They are also playing around the issues of poverty.
Poverty.
You know? You know, like somebody said, everybody has a price. Somebody is working and has been working for 35 years or 33 years, not sure of when he or she is going to get his or pension. And somebody is offering you like the amount of your pension just for you to make a file disappear, you know?
Or just to look the other way.
Or just to look the other way. And then you struggle within your value system to either take this or not. And that's why we end up getting to that point where we cannot. And like I said earlier, as long as people see that you can get away with any evil that you commit.
Yes.
I mean, without mentioning names, we have people that they have been prosecuting, ministers that they have been prosecuting every time.
And
you know,
nothing has happened.
All you get is, they seize this, they seize that. And I keep wondering, when will they finish seizing, you know, all this, you know. And at the end of, even the ones that has been repatriated, you still cannot even account for it.
Talk about the Abacha loot.
You know, and all those. So, people continue to have a mindset, like I said, that if we do not get to the point where we are prosecuting people who are corrupt, we would see it as an alternative route.
Okay. All right. On a day like December 9, which is set aside as the International Anti-Corruption Day, I believe that day should have some form of significance. Because over time, we've always, you know, celebrated December 9, International Day of Anti-Corruption, you know. But it seems as though it lacks the impact. And we just see it come and go. Because it's not as if people will pause and a corrupt person will say, oh, because December 9 is International Day of Anti-Corruption, maybe let me pause my corrupt way just for today, which is December 9. And by December 10, I pick it up and continue my corrupt way. Is it that, and because of the many Nigerians are not optimistic about, or they are not optimistic about it, is it that the awareness is not strong enough to stop people from engaging in corrupt practices? And also, do we even need a day to be reminded that we should kick against corruption?
Well, my brother, I think if we have not been reminding ourselves, I want to assure you that things will continue to go worse. The day is very, very important, and you might feel it is not actually, making impact.
Okay.
Now, I know for sure that every time you bring out issues of corruption, people want to respond to it. I'll give you a scenario. Every time Transparency International brings out a report, you see that there are reactions around that. Nobody wants to be in that,
the
bad book.
Okay.
So it means that if you now stop that level where we are not even talking at all, then you can be sure it will just be the order of the day. Now, why is it looking like nothing is happening? It's still because for those who are corrupt, for those who are engaging in corrupt practices, we have not been able to show the world and ourselves that we have the capacity to deal with them. So, for example, if EFCC arraigns somebody now, the next thing you are going to actually see is, maybe this person is not in their political party.
Okay.
You know, that's the mindset. And it's until we all look at it to say, whether you are in my political party, we've seen people who have also joined a political party because it's a way
of escaping
EFCC, you understand? Net. So as long as these narratives are out there, we will continue to deal with the issues of corruption.
The issue of corruption. All right, so everyone seems to have an excuse to be corrupt. When you ask a police officer who is busy collecting roja on the road, why are you collecting roja? You might say, well, the government is not taking care of us.
Yes.
The government is not our salary.
They
didn't fuel our car. Is this money that we are using, this roja that we are collecting? You know, they will have an excuse. When you catch a thief in the act, the thief will say, why did you go into armed robbery? No job. The government is not creating an enabling environment for businesses to thrive. So because of that, you have to steal. Now, we also talked about, I also had a conversation with a Yahoo boy back then. And he told me something. He said, Benga, the reason I do this thing is because the colonial masters took away from us.
Wow.
And because of that, I'm using it to take it back. You know, acting like some Robin Hood of some sort. But really, you're using it to take care of yourself. Now, if we look at all of these excuses, are those excuses genuine? The police officer who takes roja on the road, he said because the government did not take, and really, we've been talking about police welfareism for a long time. And they give reason that this is the reason they collect money. The thief, would you blame it because the government did not create the jobs? The government did not create the right environment for businesses to thrive? And that's because that's the reason why. Are these excuses genuine to be corrupt?
The answer is capital no. They are not genuine excuses.
Should there even be an excuse to be corrupt?
There should be no excuse to be corrupt because corruption is corruption. Corruption is you are doing something that is wrong. It's associated with dishonesty. It's associated with, circumventing the right system.
The process.
There are people who have also made it. Not being corrupt. There are people who have chosen to say, okay, I'll keep trying to get other jobs. There are people who have also tried to say, okay, I'll keep trying. I know people who have failed in 1, 2, 3 businesses. And I've continued to try. And at one point or the other, they've been able to make it. So the point is that we still have to go back to the issue of our value system. There's nothing stopping you. So, for example, why do I get paid? People need to continue to come back to that sense of responsibility. I am being paid to do this job. I do not need an additional tip to get my job done. Now, when we all do that, we are likely going to have a good society. Now, a police officer does not need to, waylay you or get roja to move on. There are times ordinarily, you know, you see them in the sun.
Exactly.
And take this,
Have a drink.
You know, I see all those happening. So you don't have to You don't have to go against your work to be able to be taken care of. So if all of us have this, you know, reorientation. So okay. It's about reorientation to say, I mean, what no matter what I'm doing, once it is wrong, it is wrong. If it is something I cannot be proud of,
okay.
If it's something I cannot come out to say, this is what I am doing, and I won't be celebrated for it, then yes. It is wrong. It is not acceptable.
All right, let's talk to Nigerians. Okay, remember we are live on Facebook. On Facebook is Fresh 107.9 FM on Facebook. You can also tweet at us on the X platform at Fresh FM Abeokuta. On Facebook, it is Fresh 107.9 FM Abeokuta. The numbers to call 0815-432-1079. 0815-432-1079 or 0818-111-1079. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Okay. Yeah, can you hear me now? Okay. Oh, we have any issues with the phone lines. All right. 0815-432-1079 or 0818-111-1079. We're live on Facebook, okay? All right, so still going on with the conversation. Let's talk about the ownership mentality here. And, okay. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
All right, Alhaji, let's talk.
The issue of corruption we are talking is structural.
Structural.
My dear brother. Very, unless we change the structure of this country, we structure the. My dear brother, in advanced country we are copying, the democracy we are copying, they have federal, state, and local.
Okay.
Look at how everything in their federal system there, they have just only 150 agencies. How many we have here under the presidency? We have about 1,000 plus. And in concurrent leads, we have about 12. The concurrent list, 68 on concurrent list. So the fact that I don't know land, my dear brother, unless we restructure, we change the deep structure, that is why, and it, that is why it will be reduced.
Right.
And it will be very easy for what so called the citizen to monitor. You know, people also monitor the state governors and everything.
All right.
And the issue of what's so called no employment, how many level of security they have in that that area, and that they have almost 45. We are having one centralized something.
All right,
it
thank
is
you.
Not, it can't work.
Thank you.
It can't work.
Thank you.
That is the point.
So, thank you. All right. I've been speaking with Tayo Akinpelu. He's a member, Transparency and Accountability Network, Nigeria Program Coordinator and Coalition of NGOs in Ogun State. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning
I
to
am
you.
Helen. Good morning. My name is Helen. I quite agree with Mr. Kinselu Dia for all that he has been saying.
Okay.
I want to be very categorical that our value system is the issue. Because our value system is faulty. It is too elastic to allow stealing and unfaithfulness to thrive. And that is why those who are corrupt continue to be doing that. The last speaker mentioned about structure. Me, I don't believe in it. Because even if you structure the system, and we still have the wrong value system, people will still be corrupt. I mean, do you need anybody to tell you that when you are driving, you don't need to drive against traffic? Is it the structure? Because that is corruption.
Okay.
You want to take an undue advantage of other people that you are on the road together. But it is a value system, and we cannot exonerate anybody from it, including the people, the society, and the government. But I think my advice to the parents is the fact that essentiality begins from home.
Sure.
Parents be good models to their children. You don't need to, you should be good models.
Mm.
Now that we see no one doing things that are wrong, parents will be telling that, you two, go and try what your friends and Henry is doing now. Bringing something home. And where is that something from? So this is the issue. Then the society. The society, because we worship money, nobody cares about the source or the substance of the money. I remember in those years, when you had money and nobody is sure of that, the source of that money. When they give you, you won't take. That's the problem. But now nobody cares. And as for government, when people are caught in this antisocial behavior, they should make sure that they are punished. If they are not punished, they won't start. They won't have a deterrent.
All right, thank you. All right, thank you.
And that's my submission. Well done.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you. 0818111079. 0815-432-1079. So let's talk about the ownership mentality here. Let's now weave it around the whistleblowing policy. This policy, the whistleblowing policy, it works well in advanced countries. You know, where you see people, any bad thing, they quickly call 911. Oh, I see this person looking at me. Oh, I see. They're so confident of the system. The trust in the system is there. They have this ownership mentality. And even though we try to adopt it in Nigeria, you know, where if you look at one issue, one case, the money that was found at Osborne Avenue in Lagos, they said it was true whistleblowing policy, the whistleblowing thing. And when something happens on the road, instead of people in Nigeria just seem to kind of mind their own business right now, you know, because when something happens on the road, instead of calling for help, you see them bring out their phones and they start to record and probably put it on social media just to get likes, just to get views and all. But how do we begin to imbibe, you know, that culture where you feel responsible to the state and to human, not just to the state and also to humanity, you know, by being involved, you know, to report whatever you see so that the place can become sanitized of some sort. That when you see that this person is doing the right wrong thing, you call the authorities that, hey, this person is doing it. How can we get to that point?
Yeah, like you said, you have started from, a comparison level. One of the reasons why people will call 911 in developed countries is because they believe that it's not about who calls, it's not about how the call was made. You are certain that once you make such report, the necessary action will be taken. We need to get to that point in this country where when you make reports, you know, we've seen cases where, people have made reports to the authorities,
yes,
and they've been into problem for it. Mm. There are a couple of cases like that. Because, for example, you suspect something and you report that, and then you become the main suspect in the case because somebody is asking you, how did you know, you know, and all those. And eventually, experience of people over time have shown them to keep quiet. I've shown them not to, be so committed to the state. Okay. So the only way we will get there is, like I had been saying, when some of these cases are being handled. And then we see. So I'll give you an instance. The case of there was a case that was taken to court around environmental in Lagos and all those. You know, because people saw it, people believed in it, people started following through. So once there is an example of something and it goes fine, people are likely going to change their attitude and their mindset. So where we are now is that our systems, there are fears associated with our system.
Okay.
People are afraid to walk into a police station to report a case
because it might even be detained,
you know, and all those. So at the end of the day, it's until those things change,
okay,
that people will be able to then believe in the system, and then we would get to where we are supposed to.
Now, as we drive home, let's talk solutions here. Who will deliver us? Where will the solution come from? Should the true and genuine fight against corruption, should it start from the government or from the society or from the religious organizations? I mean, advisors, what forward thinking approach will you suggest as the best way to fight and reduce the scourge of corruption in Nigeria?
Yeah, for me, I mean, it has to begin with us. I mean, begin with you.
It shouldn't start from the government. It should start from...
It can't start...
Not top to bottom.
No, it's not going to work. It's not going to work that way. It has to start from individuals where you deliberately make up your mind, like you said, that irrespective of wherever I find myself, I would obey the traffic light. I would just do due applications and not be interested in following up on anybody, you know. Now, the moment we start that way, we will realize that we would actually be a pocket, but a pocket will gradually grow and become a system issue. So, for example, if we do the right thing in our home, the next home does, before we know it, our community will always do the right thing. Before we know it, our local government would always do the right thing. And then, like I said, people know those who will do the right thing. So when they need an example, they know who to call to say, I am sure Alhaji this, I'm sure Pastor this, I'm sure Mr. this will not compromise his stand. Now, it means that they have been able to put it out there that this is where they stand.
Well, in as much as I want to agree with you, I want to disagree with you on that part where you say it should start from within. I would say let it start from government. Government in a sense that where the systems, because it seems as if the people, individuals are more powerful than the system. I would want a situation whereby the systems are made stronger, whereby you made a suggestion. You talked about someone who is, you flout orders and all of, but you get to a different country, you just align naturally because there's a stronger system, stronger than you.
Yes.
So I'm saying that let the government strengthen the system.
Now, maybe because of the way we are looking at government in this case.
Yeah, we are the government.
We already have laws and systems. We only need individuals who believe in doing things the right way.
But whether you believe or not, if the systems are strong, whether you believe and you are punished for bad behavior, and the name and shame happens, obviously you will fall in line.
So the question will be, because we are forgotten where we are now.
Okay.
Where we are now is that the systems are there. People have decided to look away.
Because it's not strong enough.
Oh, God. Oh. Well, we are now saying that if the people make up their mind, you will realize that naturally, and that's why you see somebody comes into an office and says, this is what I want to do. And then, we've seen some few examples. Mm. I'll give some few examples. The minister for Interior, when he came in, he started talking about there's no reason for us
passports and all those.
He was an individual who made up his mind that I was not, because that system, he would have also benefited from it. And he started going around and shouting. Now, obviously, the system was fighting back. We also had the minister of, Minister of Works, at some point, also said, no, we don't do this. So it takes individuals who have access to power, who
to
make
do
up
the right
their
thing.
Mind to say, I want to do the right thing.
All right,
for us to get there.
Let's pick up this call. Maybe I think we can pick one or two more calls. Hello, good morning. Hello. Hello, good morning. Okay, we dropped calls. Maybe if we can pick just one more call before we go. 0815-432-1079. We have this message on Facebook. It says that it is really a tragedy. You know, this generation has grown witnessing corruption being rewarded with chieftaincy, and while the ones they try to remain virtuous are disgraced publicly. Oh dear. Hello, good morning. Yeah, good morning, Taylor. What's your name? Where are you calling from?